We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Welcome to Tuesday here in Brevard County. We want to thank you for tuning in, and welcome to springtime and all that sort of fun stuff. I really enjoy spring here in Florida. I know it's officially spring. There are times it feels a lot like summer, but we're thankful that it's here. we're thankful that it's here anyway. We cherish it whenever it comes and miss it when it's gone. But thank you for tuning in today. This is Bob Arthurs. You're listening to the Refresh Radio broadcast brought to you by Merit Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street. And I haven't mentioned this in a few days. I wanted to go ahead and mention it. We want to extend to you a personal invitation to come and join us on Resurrection Sunday, April the 5th, where we are going to be having a phenomenal day. Our children's ministries department is already working on their gospel presentation for the kids. Now, listen, the kids that come, they're going to get some treats and prizes and all that. But the most important thing about that day for us, and this last year was probably our best. It was first year we'd done it, and we've tried to build on it this year. We've got like 10 stations that we're going to have set up, and at each station, the kids are going to be presented with one aspect of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have kids, grandkids, neighbor kids, kids in your neighborhood that just need Jesus, we want to invite you to bring them to Merit Assembly of God on April the 5th, because they are going to be told and be able to encounter the resurrections of Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and have the opportunity to ask him to be the Lord of their life. And so we're praying that it will be a life-transforming day for many, many people on Resurrection Sunday. Not only are there going to be stations, but there are going to be sandwiches available, potato salad, baked beans, coleslaw, potato chips, all of that sort of stuff is going to be available. We're asking our congregation to bring the potato salad, all of those side dishes. We're going to be providing sandwiches and things that are easy for kids to eat, kids like to eat. And also it'd be something great for the adults to have some fellowship as well. We're going to have an outdoor gazebo that is set up, and it's just a really good opportunity for us to come together as the body of Christ and celebrate the work that Jesus Christ has done for us. So put that on your calendar. We don't want the adults to feel left out. I'm going to be preaching a message on Sunday. It'll be an illustrated message, April the 5th, Resurrection Sunday. I'm going to be preaching an illustrated message, and God has been working that into my spirit now for several weeks. Really looking forward to what God is going to do on that day. Would you, even if you can't be there, would you join us in prayer for that Sunday service? If you don't pray for any of our other services, pray for us on that day, because we're not there just because I don't have anything to do. We want to touch and transform lives for the glory of God. With that being said, I want to remind you, Advanced Christian Training Schools, a free video Bible school that meets in our fellowship hall on Tuesday nights from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. And they just recently, I believe, just recently started a series by Joyce Meyer. And so she March 12th and 13th, I mean, she packed out the Amway Center, 12th, 13th, and 14th, I think it was. So if you would like to come and be a part of that class, it's a free. You can call Ted or Linda, 633-0432. 633-0432. And tell them you heard about it here on the Refresh Radio broadcast. We've been talking about these skyscrapers, and what I did is, because I'm not an expert in the field of construction, so I went and watched some documentaries and about these innovative things that took place that modernized and made possible other buildings being equipped to go to even greater heights. And so today we're going to be in 1 Kings chapter 6. 1 Kings chapter 6, because there are some interesting parallels, but what took place in natural buildings achieving greater heights, and I can show you things in the passage or in the Word of God that line up with those principles that will cause you and I to be able to be utilized by God to a greater extent than we've ever dreamed possible. So today I want to take you to 1 Kings chapter 6, and we're going to be talking about Solomon and his temple for just a little bit. And it says this, "And it came to pass in the 480th year after the children of Israel had come out of the land of Egypt, in the fourth year of Solomon's reign, which is the second month, that he began to build the house of the Lord. Now the house which King Solomon built for the Lord, its length was 60 cubits, its width 20, and its height 30 cubits. The vestibule in front of the sanctuary of the house was 20 cubits long across the width of the house, and the width of the vestibule extended 10 cubits from the front of the house. And he made for the house windows with beveled frames. Against the wall of the temple, he built chambers all around, against the walls of the temple, all around the sanctuary and the inner sanctuary. Thus he made side chambers all around. The lowest chamber was 5 cubits wide, the middle was 6 cubits wide, and the third was 7 cubits wide. And he made narrow ledges around the outside of the temple so that the support beams would not be fastened into the walls of the temple. And the temple, when it was being built, was built with stone finished at the quarry, so that no hammer or chisel or any iron tool was heard in the temple while it was being built. The doorway for the middle story was on the right side of the temple. They went up by stairs to the middle story and from the middle to the third. So he built the temple and finished it. He paneled the temple with beams and boards of cedar, and he built side chambers against the entire temple, each 5 cubits high. They were attached to the temple with cedar beams," and we're going to stop right there. Could I just take just a moment and pray for this broadcast today? Father, we want to thank you for this Tuesday that you've given to us. I pray, God, that you would focus my words today, and that you would motivate us, that you would create a desire in us to be great in the kingdom of God. Lord, thank you. I pray, God, that we would have that desire and it would not be delayed. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. The key to greatness in the kingdom of God is the heart of a servant. It's not the heart to be served, it's the heart to serve. And that is so important, that you and I, we've got to realize that if, as God builds us up, it is because he is increasing our capacity to serve. In John chapter 13, it's one of my favorite passages of scripture, Jesus took a towel upon himself and went around and performed the duty of the lowliest servant in the household, where that servant would be washing off the feet of those who had been invited to the dinner. There would be the dust and the rest of the residue, whether it be mud or other unmentionable things that found its way onto people's feet. That servant would be washing that stuff off of their feet. And it said that Jesus was able to do that because he knew who he was, he knew where he came from, and he knew where he was going. And so today I want to talk to you about being great in the kingdom of God, and that is that that you know who you are, you know where you came from. Don't, by the way, let me say this. Don't ever forget that you are a sinner saved by grace. Don't ever forget that. It will give you a heart of compassion to reach the lost. And so please don't ever forget where you came from. But also remember that you came from there. You don't live there. That instead you came from that place to God. And now when you go to minister, you go to minister having come from the presence of God. And that when you get done serving, when you get done ministering, you are able to serve because you know that when you get done serving, you are returning to the presence of the Father. Those three things are so essential. Actually, you could probably expand it to four there, you know, that you know who you are. You spend some time in the Word of God. Discover your identity in Jesus Christ. Discover the giftings and the anointings that He has placed inside of you. Feast on John chapter 13, verse number 1. You'll be blessed by it, verses 1 through follow. And then always remember that you're not here because you are so great. You are here because Jesus redeemed you by His blood. And then before you go to serve, make sure you spend time in the presence of the King. And then when you get done serving, you will be able to serve because you know that when you get done, you're going right back to the presence of the Father. So those things are absolutely crucial if we're going to be great in the kingdom of God. So here in 1 Kings chapter 6, there's an interesting point that is made. And that is that when Solomon was constructing the temple, I want to point it out to you in verse number 7. It says, And the temple, when it was being built, was built with stone finished at the quarry, so that no hammer or chisel or any iron tool was heard in the temple while it was being built. I want you to know that heaven is not going to be a construction zone. Right now, you and I are in the refining process. God is working His presence into us. He is working His reflection into us as He is building us up to be a pillar in the temple of God, like we talked about on a previous broadcast out of Revelation chapter 3, that as He's building us, He is shaping us for where we fit in the body of Christ. And that's why you and I don't have to go and look at this person over here and say, well, how do I compare with them? Or look at this person, how do I compare with them? Because God is molding us and forming us. He's constructing us out of the spiritual giftings that He needs to employ in us in order for us to fit and function successfully where He would place us in the body of Christ. There are some people who think that they can live like the devil here, and then all of a sudden, poof, the abracadabra is going to be spoken over them, and all of a sudden we're going to be radically perfected. And you know, if you were to ask Jesus into your heart with your dying breath, I thank God for His grace and His mercy that you would be forever in heaven. I'm thankful for that. But I want to live my life with as few regrets as I could possibly have. And my regrets are not that I didn't drive a fancier car or anything like that. I was sharing this with a parent in our church here recently. My regret is that when I was a teenager, I wasn't doing more for Jesus than I did. I was kind of blended into the background a little bit. I was very quiet, very shy. I really didn't study my Bible as much as I should have, even though I knew that I was called into the ministry. I didn't make as much of an impact in those years as I think that I could have. And so, you know, the Bible talks about redeeming the time, for the days are evil. You and I, we need to realize that right now God is working on us. He's molding us. He's forming us. He's looking to create His image in us so that when people see us, they see Jesus. By the way, let me just say this. Do you know the reason that the devil hates mankind so much is because you and I were created in the image of God. And every time he looks at man, every time he looks at him, he sees the image of God, and he hates God so much that he lashes out at us. Another reason that he lashes out at us is because he knows how valuable you are to God. He knows the price that God paid for you, for your family members, for your loved ones, for your neighbors. He knows how valuable you are to God, and he knows that if he can deceive you and deprive you of your relationship with Jesus, that it will do damage to the heart of God. God doesn't want you to perish. The devil does. In fact, you know, the devil really doesn't, he doesn't care about your name. He doesn't care about anything in your well-being. He only cares about using you to attack and hurt God. And so I don't know about you, but I want to be able to be used by God to the greatest extent I could possibly be. So what does 1 Kings chapter 6 have to say about the building of skyscrapers? Well, skyscrapers cost a lot of money. I believe that the tallest building in the world that they have built in Dubai is, I think it costs something like $1.3 billion, something like that, somewhere between $1 billion and $1.3 billion. That's 1,000 million. That is $1,000 million. That is so much money. And generally, when people have that much invested in something, they want to get a return on their investment as quickly as possible. So there was one documentary that I watched, and there was this building that was being built in London. It had a very tight footprint as far as land goes. And so they had to make the most out of every hour around the clock. And the reason that this particular company was chosen to build it was they said that they could build this very tall structure. It wasn't the tallest building in the world or anything like that. But they said, we can build this, and I think it was something like 26 months, 2 years. And because they could do it in such a small time frame, it was very appealing to the owners, because that meant that they were going to be able to start recouping the investment that they had put into this building. They were going to be able to start renting it out sooner and start making money. Well, I want you to know that no matter how much a building costs, it can never compare to the investment that God has made into you and do I. It is, it's not $1 billion. It was one son, Jesus Christ. Jesus was the price that was paid for you and I to be transformed from an empty void, a sinkhole, into being a house of God, the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so many times we want to put off maturing and growing until a later date. But I want you to know that if in the construction realm, that time is money, in the spiritual realm, the time between your salvation and my salvation and our maturity into being a useful part of the kingdom of God, that time represents souls. I challenged our church. You know, we see videos of other religions, and they are training their children from the very earliest ages up to be firm believers in their doctrine. And yet here in America, we are many times so interested in keeping our kids entertained that we are doing a pretty questionable job, shall we say, of equipping them for the realities that they face in the spiritual warfare they're going to deal with. You and I, we must mature. We must allow God to work in us, to form us, to fashion us, because the time that he is building us, it is manifest in souls. I'm praying, you know, several years ago, I'll say it this way. Several years ago, I talked to a person been in the ministry their whole life. And they made this statement. It was a personal statement to me. I'm not exaggerating. It was a one-on-one conversation. We were talking about how things were going. They had stepped down from full-time ministry. And he said, "Bob, I am now leading more people to Jesus in my retirement years than I ever was able to lead people to Jesus in my lifetime of full-time ministry." And you might think of that and say, "Well, that's kind of sad." I look at that and I say, "That's quite a goal. That's quite a goal. I want the number of people that I impact while I'm in full-time ministry to be increasing exponentially, but I also want to be winning more people to Jesus this year than I did last year, more people next year than this year." And time is souls. We need God to fill us with His Holy Spirit, fill us with His Word, fill us with His power and His presence, so that people would be drawn to Jesus. So, just as Solomon was building the temple, he had the materials. The temple was actually a prefabricated building. It was formed off-site. It was transported on-site, and it was put together and became one of the wonders of the ancient world. It was absolutely beautiful and glorious. And when we get to heaven and God manifests what it's like for you and I to be living stones, pillars in the house of God, it suddenly we're going to realize just how fearfully and wonderfully made we are. As I was watching this video about this skyscraper that went up in just a matter of 26 months, and I mean that was an unbelievable feat. There was the last part, and I believe the term for the last piece of steel that goes in is called topping out, and the piece didn't look like any of the other pieces. It had a very unique shape to it. All of those pieces had numbers. They came in at just a certain time, and all everything was very, very precise. By design, by construction, by shipment date, everything came in. There was no place to store anything, so everything had to be done off-site, and then it was transported in. And that last piece, when they went to put it together or put it into place, they found out that it was 1 inch off. And they didn't show how they made it fit. They just said they realized that the design was not off. They just had to make it fit. You and I, as we are living our life, as we are pursuing God and asking God to make us more than we could ever be, please understand that He's not refining you because He hates you. He is not disciplining you. He's not correcting you because He doesn't like you, doesn't love you. Exactly the opposite. God has a specific and exact place for you in the body of Christ. I wonder how many people I'm talking to today that right now you're just kind of, you're listening and you say, "God, I don't know where I fit in the body of Christ." Well, I want you to know that you are not a misfit. You were created with precision. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. God knew you when you were in your mother's womb. He knows every detail about you. And so I just want to encourage you that if you're just wondering where you fit in the body of Christ, know that you fit. There can be times where you are not being utilized, and you might be scratching your head and wonder what's going on. Paul was saved on the road to Damascus, encountered Ananias. Then he went off to Tarsus, and he stayed there for something like 14 years. for 14 years. And the Bible really doesn't describe what he was doing for those 14 years. But I can tell you this. I do know what didn't happen. I do know that God didn't forget about him, because one day the disciples sent Barnabas to check out this revival. Barnabas saw the evidence of the grace of God, and he said, you know, I need somebody who is going to be able to help me to minister in this revival. And he didn't go looking for Peter, and he didn't go looking for any of the other apostles. He went looking for Paul. At that time, he was known as Saul. God would change his name to Paul. He said, I need that man that used to be a persecutor of the church, and I need him to minister to me in this current move of God. And I want you to know, he went, he got Saul, brought him back. They began to minister, and the Holy Spirit, let me see if I can find it for you here real quick, because it's worded in such a way that I don't want to mess it up. Acts, the 13th chapter, it says, now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. Did you pick that? Pick that up. It says, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Today, if you're not plugged in to a local church, I want to encourage you, plug into a local church. If you can't find one, come see us. We would love to help you grow in your faith. But if you are just waiting, I want to tell you this. God has prepared a specific place for you, and you just begin to cry out to him, seek him, say, God, make me ready. Make me ready for when you call. I want to be ready to serve to the glory of God. God is working on you. He's working on me, and he is forming us into a trophy of his grace. Father, I just pray that this Tuesday, your Holy Spirit would refine us, work in us, remove any impurities from our life, remove the dross, remove anything that is displeasing in your sight, form us, fashion us, mold us for your glory and your praise. God, we want to be used by you in your timing, exactly the way that you want to use us. And God, we know this, you're going to be the one that receives all the glory and all of the praise. God bless you. You have a phenomenal Tuesday. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.